This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So 888-957-9570. Do you still have any interest in Kevin Durant? Like, when you hear him say that, does it sort of spark that thing back up again? Or is the experience of the last 3 weeks enough to where you're like, ah, man, I'm actually kind of glad that it went the way that it did. Let's move on. Mainly because this looks like it's working now. Like, sure, you can say Kevin Durant's a better player than Jimmy Butler, but in this moment, you might also have the opinion that based on this roster at this time, Jimmy fits it better. I don't even 100% know that I feel that way yet through seven games, but it's possible. I'm open to that possibility just based on the defender that Jimmy is, based on maybe the role model that Jimmy is for Kuminga. And I don't mean that as like the person Jimmy is. We don't even really know Jimmy as the person yet. But the style of ball player that he is maybe a little bit more conducive to bringing Jonathan Kuminga along. I don't know. I still think that we got to kick the can down the road on that. But if you had asked it 3 weeks ago, it's a no-brainer. And now I sort of sit here and the idea of KD in the offseason, it's almost like, I don't know where my brain goes is, I'm so hopeful about what they're doing right now, I don't even want to think
right
about more acquisitions in the offseason. Because if you're trying to acquire Kevin Durant in the offseason, it means this season didn't go very well.
Agreed. If you win two series and you make it to the Western Conference Finals,
then I'm out.
Right. You feel like you're close enough to where you can add a player, a smaller piece, and you can get enough to get over the hump. If you're a first-round flameout, you look at everything and you think about what maybe would be the fix. And you mentioned the Jimmy through seven games, you're 6-1. Jimmy Butler seems to make everyone around him better. And by everyone, I mean Pods and Quentin and all of the other ancillary pieces. It seems like they're playing better with Jimmy around. If you add Kevin Durant, he makes your team better. He doesn't make the other individuals better, but he makes your offense better because he can go out there and get you 30, 35 a night. I don't know if Kevin is the kind of player as much as Jimmy to make other people around you better.
Yeah, I mean, look.
Well,
I mean,
the gravity would be huge.
Yeah, they're so great. I tend to think, like, they do. They make other people better because yep. They, just their presence, it's like it opens everything up. You know what I mean? I don't look at Jimmy Butler and be like, boy, he's such an incredible passer. He's making everything better. He's making everyone better because they're a better basketball team. The floor is more open. They play looser because they have a lead. Like, everything is
and
not
they don't
so,
turn it over.
Yeah, it's not so stressful right now. Like, the Warriors can be in a close game, and they're like, no, we're good. We're fine. Like the Warriors right now carry themselves as if they're a team that knows they're going to be in the playoffs. That hasn't been the case for a year and a half,
yeah,
quite frankly.
Grandy had a great comment on our show thread where he said, last night was kind of refreshing for the first time.
Totally.
It was a blowout early, and you never really felt like, oh boy, they cut it to 18.
Dude, I think it was a blowout when it was 4-2. Like, the game started, and I'm like, I don't even know. And I got a buddy of mine who might be listening. He was texting me. He's like, dude, we should apply to be front office people with the Hornets. What on earth kind of an operation are they running? Like, look at their last three or four games.
Right.
They can't even get to the second half against anyone right now.
The last three games, they've lost by a combined 131 points. That's an NBA record.
That sounds like a lot.
Right now, in this moment, they are. That's a college team. They are the worst team in the NBA, and it's not close.
I was thinking like how they would do in the SEC, and I know you're not watching a lot of college hoop yet, but
they'd win.
Stacked. They wouldn't go undefeated.
Yes, they would.
Dude, You watch Alabama and Auburn play.
I hate
play.
When people do that. When
they would
like,
not go undefeated.
Could they like beat the best college? Yes, they could. Every single player on the Hornets would be the best player on Alabama.
They might be a tournament team.
Stop it.
Watch your college hoop and get back to me.
I do, because you bet on it, and it's in on it. It's on in here every night.
Yeah, we got the Hoyas.
How
here.
We doing with Georgetown and UConn right now?
We're getting points, but not. Oh, we're getting 14 and a half. We're all right.
See, I look up at that screen right now. You want to know the first thought that goes through my head? UConn is playing Georgetown, and nobody's ranked. That's a bunch of crap. I'm sorry. That's not the college basketball I know. UConn and Georgetown, both unranked, and I don't even know what conference they're in. What are they in?
It's the Big East.
The Big Europe? What, have they moved?
UConn's been a juggernaut, but Coach Hurley's having a down year.
I know he is.
And he's yelling at refs about
it. He's still talking. I know.
He's a beauty.
Ian on the 80. What's up, Ian on 80? How you doing, man? Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Hey. Pretty good. This bug caught a hold of me today, but I like this question, though. First thing I want to tell Dibs, man, college teams can't beat pro teams, man. I wish you guys would stop doing that. But, and I'm not going to really give you a chance to answer that, even though you run the show, because I called to talk about Jimmy. I feel like the ship has sailed with Kevin Durant, and Jimmy is strong like a bull. And he's great, man. He's a great playoff player. And great player anyways. He's fundamentally sound. And he's never been hurt. And he's bought in. You know, I remember, man, and, you know, no one ever wants to talk about it, but those last two games against Houston, man, when the Warriors almost lost, man, Kevin was taking, like, I don't know, 30 or 40 shots. He was shooting 20% and wouldn't stop shooting. And even in Game 7, his man, P.J. Tucker, had 11 offensive rebounds at the halftime. Now, I ain't saying Kevin Durant is like, you know, sorry or nothing like that. But, you know, the status quo changes, and we're talking about a guy who's been either at the finals or a hair's breadth of the finals within the last 5 years. And so, yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Ian, thanks, man. Appreciate it. I feel some of what you're saying. Here's one thing that I...
Yeah, he averaged 35 a night in that series, if we want to look back at it.
I don't want to spend... Like, this is just me.
Just real quick.
I don't want to spend any time saying I don't want Kevin because now he sucks. Like, Kevin is still awesome. Kevin was awesome. Kevin is awesome. And Kevin will always be awesome. To me, it's just more of a circumstantial conversation. And it does come down to what the Warriors do. Make the playoffs and do something in the playoffs, and then I think the fan base should think, keep doing what you're doing. But if you don't, yes, I'm reopened to Kevin Durant.
I also think that it comes down to what Kuminga does, because if Kuminga plays, and let's say they win two series, but Kuminga is largely an afterthought, he's an eighth man, he never got fit, and he never really fit in, then it seems to me like he might be prime for a sign-and-trade in the offseason. Conversely, if he comes in and he balls out, and you win a series, but you lose the next round, and he's playing amazing, maybe you lose in seven in the Western Conference semis, maybe you think, like, wow, Kuminga has arrived, and now we've got a real core four. So I do think the Kuminga piece is a big part of it.
I agree, and don't never forget how quickly the world can change. I mean,
think about us with Jimmy Butler in 17 days.
Exactly. Now everybody's like, where's he going to win a championship? Everybody on this radio station was screaming 18 days ago, they're too old, blow it up. Not everybody, but a lot of people. So, hell, Luka Doncic was a Maverick, and now people are talking about smoking and beer. Like, things change really fast. So, I have to at least stay open to Kevin Durant, but Kuminga, Butler, and the Warriors' result absolutely, to me, provide circumstances, and we'll need to know the answers to those questions. Let's go to Phoenix, actually, where Elena is. Elena, thank you for calling Willard and Dibs. What's up?
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Okay, so my thing is with KD is no matter how much Joe always like goes on the stage and says like I don't mind spending money and whatever, the reality is there's a reason why the league kind of put in this these salary caps there is because they did that before and formed a whole dynasty and made, you know, they're trying to prevent that. So if he, like, KD's way too expensive. So if he comes in, you're basically, like, gutting half of your roster, which gives you no bench, which makes you a very top-heavy team, which when we're seeing, like, with the New York Knicks, even with the team that he's in right now with the Suns, you're seeing that, like, kind of show. Yes, the first five come in and it's great and dandy, but then you put the bench in and you lose the lead. That's always how it happens. And I feel like being top heavy never really works out really well. So I feel like for the team and the roster they have right now, KD wouldn't really work. And with Kuminga not fitting in and everybody being so worried about it, I don't know. I feel like I would urge people to kind of go back a little bit in 2017, 2018 when Jimmy was playing with the Minnesota Timberwolves, when he was playing with the Chicago Bulls. He actually took the Timberwolves in the first playoffs. And if you see that roster, he was like, what, with Derrick Rose, with Andrew Wiggins, Jeff Teague, Kat. And all these players are actually role players when you look at them right now, right? They're horrible. None of them have actually had real good success. Even Tyus Jones, which is in Suns right now, he's not really had any success since he played with the Timberwolves, but he made them look good because he played like a team.
Elena, what's your thought then on Kuminga fitting back in?
I think we underestimated it. I think he would fit really well, not because Kuminga's really good, but because of the IQ he's going to be around.
Okay, look, that's a fair point. Elena, thank you very much, and it sets up exactly what we want to play for you next. This is going to be worthy of your reaction now. Wait until you hear how Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green answered the questions last night with regard to Kuminga fitting back in versus the way Steve Kerr answered the question. I don't know. To us, it sounded very, very different. So we'll play that for you coming up next. Take your calls. We're sponsored by Ceramani Ford. Head down to Ceramani Ford to lease a 2024 Mustang Mach-E Select or 24 Ford Lightning and receive the Ford Power Promise that includes standard home installation of a Ford charge station located right off 280 in Coma-Daly City. Ceramani Ford, your San Francisco EV dealer. Your phone calls next on Willard and Dibbs.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That right there is Jonathan Kuminga, who will...
Yeah?
Not play tomorrow in Orlando.
And you are not the baller. A little shout out from Maury Povich for those of you who partake. Take it two.
What was the thing I saw him... He weighed in on some. There's a huge story about someone. Gosh, what was it? He weighed in on Twitter where he's like, somebody, it was an athlete who, I don't know. There were lots and lots of kids. Lots of kids. It was a quick tweet. He's just like, I'm going to sit this one out. I'm going to sit this one out. Thanks, Maury. Good to know you're still kicking around, having some fun. Speaking of having some fun, I want to shout out 510 who just texted in. Did y'all hear Elena from Phoenix a couple of minutes ago? Elena was going through a lot of different things in the NBA. She's talking about the Suns and the Warriors and this salary and this player and then Kuminga and how this going to break down, how that's going to break down. 510 texted in and said, is she single? She's like, damn, this woman knows the game.
Right?
Wow. Man, she was spitting. She was spitting some fire. So, anyway, speaking of spitting some fire, try this on for size. Because you and I spent a good amount of time yesterday afternoon, maybe quite frankly not enough, talking about Jonathan Kuminga and fitting in. And where these conversations always go for many people is you either love Jonathan Kuminga or you're a hater. You're like Steve Kerr, and you hate young people. Here's what I'll try to say again. I think Jonathan's a wonderful player. I want the Warriors to keep him. I'm not even predicting that him fitting in won't work. I'm simply saying that I think this is a bigger assignment than people are giving it credit for. I think that this is hard. The Warriors are a different basketball team now. Jonathan is going for a contract, and he is going to come back and have about 20 games or so to play with the Warriors. And this has been ramped up because now they look like a playoff team. There's a huge new presence. The minutes are going to get reallocated. You know what that is?
It's a reallocation sensation, Mark.
And all I'm saying is it's a lot.
Yeah.
This is a lot. So that very topic, no doubt after we talked about it in the 5 o'clock hour, all those Warriors reporters took it straight to the arena.
Right.
And they wanted to ask everybody, hey, what about Jonathan Kuminga and fitting in? Here's how Jimmy Butler answered the question.
I think it's going to be easy. Hella athletic, can shoot it, can score in a multitude of ways, and can guard. He can definitely guard. So I think he's going to come back and do what he's been doing. My job is just to make it even easier on him. So come on back and help us get some dubs.
Okay, super easy.
Come on back.
You're good at basketball. Come play with us.
Yeah.
We'll get some dubs.
Come on back and help us get some dubs. He can ball. He can defend. It's going to be easy.
Let's go talk to Draymond, everybody. Hey, Draymond, what do you think about Kuminga fitting in?
They're integrating another dynamic player who can switch positions, who get out in transition, who can score the basketball. Like I said, we haven't done anything spectacular offensively. It's not like we've put in a bunch of sets since Jimmy's been here. We've kind of taught him a few of the sets that we already had that we liked, and that's it. You know, and so I don't think he's necessarily coming back to a completely different offense. I think he's coming back to a team with a completely different mentality, and he'll be fine picking that up.
Okay. So this is going to be easy. It's going to be fine. Jonathan's good at basketball. We're good at basketball. It's not like we've reinvented the wheel. So Jonathan was good before. Jonathan will be good again. Maybe that's all true.
Sounds simple, Mark.
Okay, now blend that in with Steve Kerr before the game yesterday.
What makes Jimmy special is that he doesn't try to be special. He just plays fundamental basketball. And, you know, the constant fundamental play, he never turns it over. He just makes a simple play over and over again. And I want JK to learn some of that. You know, he's so explosive. I think it's always hardest for guys who are the most talented to make decisions because they've got too many options at their disposal. I'm hoping that he can learn from Jimmy and that Jimmy will spend some time with him. I know he will. Jimmy's really good about that. But just understanding that, you know, attacking the rim, nothing there, jump stop, pass the ball, that's a great basketball play, especially for us because Steph Curry's on the other end of the play a lot.
Okay. Now, There's some differences there in what they're talking about, but I catch a very, very different tone where Steve Kerr is essentially like, especially when he uses the word I'm hoping, that's the one that gets me. I'm hoping that Jonathan will kind of learn from Jimmy with regard to make the easy play. When you attack the basket, if it's not there, we do this thing called pass.
Right.
Just pass the ball. So that's from a head coach who clearly is hoping that there are some evolutionary aspects of Jonathan's game. That to me struck a different tone than Jonathan's good. He'll come back. We'll be good. Everything's fine.
I hear what you're saying, and you're not wrong, because the last two times we've talked to Steve Kerr, which was Monday and then late last week, he used the phrase playing on 2 feet, and he said it purposefully, and what he means is exactly what he described there. You go to the hoop, and you drive to the basket, and if nothing's there, jump stop and find somebody who's open. And Jonathan Kuminga is more prone at this point in his career to drive toward the basket and leave his feet and either try to smash on someone,
sure,
or make a very difficult shot. And now you've got Butler and Steph Curry. You had Steph before, but now you have another scorer in Jimmy Butler. You have other options, and you're a team now that is pretty Puritan with the ball. You don't really turn it over as much. You're down 2 turnovers per game. A lot of that is Jimmy Butler, but I do think some of that is playing off of 2 feet. And that's what I'm hearing him say. And Draymond and Jimmy are right, or Draymond said it, like there's not a whole bunch of new sets. So he doesn't have to come in and learn a new offense, but there is another player ahead of him in the pecking order, and now you are playing a little bit differently. So that's the adjustment he has to make, is playing, and I don't want to say he plays out of control, But what I hear Steve Kerr say is that we want him to play really under control and make the right decision more often than not.
There you go.
Make the right decision.
Say it again.
He needs to make the right decision more often than not.
That's what we're talking about.
Right. And
that's what we're talking about.
And you watch Jimmy Butler, he makes the right decision right, almost every time.
Because he's 35, and he's been around the block 100 times. And so this is not controversial. This is not mean-spirited.
Mm.
It's not hating. Stop it.
Oh, you're a hater.
No, I see all the texts. You're all out of pocket. Put your phone away and drive somewhere. This is not controversial. I didn't suggest that it is. What this is the damn facts of the matter. A 22-year-old, very important player, is joining a team that right now is spinning at a high level because it is all leaning on 35, 36-year-olds and their unbelievable know-how. And if you want to get mad about this, go ahead and do it. But we work for the flagship station of the Golden State Warriors, and I'm here to tell you that we do have conversations. And if this triggers you, it triggers you. Yes, over the last 4 years, there have been personnel deep inside the Warriors who have concerns about Jonathan's decision-making. Yes, fact. If that bothers you, let it bother you. But that's the real deal. The Warriors have always known about Jonathan's leaping ability, his athleticism, his raw talent. All of those things. They know this the same way you know this. But sometimes they have not loved the decision making. That's all. It's not inexcusable. He's 22. But if everyone's going to dive into this boat and go, oh, well, the Warriors are championship contender right now. They're a championship contender. Okay, that means right now. And that's exactly the dynamic that is created when people start getting frustrated with Steve Kerr because he leans on veterans. Well, you lean on veterans because you're trying to do right now. So this whole like, well, he's 22, let him figure it out. Well, there's no time to let him figure it out. There's no time for that, not when you're trying to win a championship. The last time this exact subject came up was when the Warriors were playing the Sacramento Kings in the 7-game series 2 years ago. And everybody had this same conversation. It's like, well, wait a minute, Jonathan Kuminga. Well, hold on, we're trying to win. And he went out there, he refused to rebound. They put him on the bench and let him watch the series. Now, he's 2 years older now. I think he's a much better player, so it's not the same. But I don't think we're done here. He's not a finished product, which is that's what Steve, to me, is saying.
Yeah, and he's saying that what we have now is a team that is trying to play off of 2 feet more, and they're trying to make the right play more often. And you look at what they've done. They've won 6 of 7. You started out the year 12-3, and you went into a bit of a free fall. It was uneven. Kuminga got hurt. You added Butler, and now you're playing a little bit differently. And if you look at their offensive efficiency, and you had the numbers, I think, yesterday or the day before, where they're now top 5 in offensive efficiency since they got Jimmy Butler. And I know that probably went up after yesterday's game, which was pretty damn efficient against a college team, a glorified SEC, dude, also ran.
They're
so
brutal. Absolutely, yeah, brutal.
Pretty easy for your efficiency to go up, but that's all they're saying. They're not saying that Kuminga isn't great. And Steve Kerr is just saying, you know, we want him to be able to get in the paint and make a jump stop, yeah, if there's nothing there. It's no slander. It's no hate. It's just where you are as a team right now.
I'm actually optimistic about it. But to me, listening to Steve Kerr talk about it sort of adds validity to the fact that this will be a challenge now. And here's something Draymond talked about that I don't think we've given enough time to, and that is the challenge of doing all of this while you're literally closing in with only a handful of games left until you have to figure out a contract extension. And if you think that's not on a player's mind, my goodness, it's on a player's mind. And Draymond, he literally addressed that. This was after the game in the locker room last night.
As a team, we just got to let him know that you don't have to get it back in one day. You know, you've been out for, he's been out now, almost 2 months?
2 months, 4 games.
Yeah. You missed. And the thing is, it ain't like it was the first 2 months. Like, these last 2 months that he's been out is kind of when people are starting to, you know, you're in game shape, you're starting to look towards the playoffs and gearing up for that. And so he's missed a pretty important 2 months. And saying that, you can't and you're not going to get it all back in one day. But as a competitor, like you said, he does have the contract situation coming up, all those things. Naturally, you want to press a little bit because you don't get this far being someone who doesn't want to make those things happen. And so naturally, you can start to press a little bit. And I think it's on us as leaders, on us as teammates, to let him know and also make him feel comfortable. Like, you know, it's not going to happen in one night. And as long as he understands that, and that's a tough thing to understand. I've been in contract situations before. That's tough as hell to understand. Like, you want to come back and make it all happen. You drive yourself crazy, though. All of a sudden, that first night don't go well. You go home, man, you going nuts. You know, and so I think he just got to come back. And more importantly than anybody else, he got to give himself some grace as he works his way back. Because, man, you drive yourself crazy worrying about all those things. And the reality is, just build back gradually and play well. We're preparing to go on a nice run. You'll have plenty of time to prove exactly who we all already know he is.
I think those are brilliant words from Draymond Green, number one. But number two, do you notice that in one soundbite, he's like, this is going to be easy. It's going to be easy for Jonathan to come back. Now let me give you 90 seconds on why it's going to be really hard, and it's on us to make sure he doesn't lose his mind. Like, those two quotes, they don't match.
Right.
I know.
Two different questions.
Totally. And he wants it to work, and he's trying to release pressure from Kuminga, and that's great. That's what a leader does. So, you know, here's an example of good leadership from Draymond Green.
Absolutely.
With a young teammate. So that's all wonderful. I just think that last 90 seconds we just listened to, that's really important. That's what Jonathan's facing, and it can mess with your head, especially when for 2 months, all he's been able to do is sit there and watch basketball and think about it.
And watch the team suddenly play as well as they have since the opening 15 games of the year when they went 12-3. So you add Jimmy Butler and you subtract four players, which means if Jonathan was healthy, his minutes would only be where they were before, if not higher, because you lost Slo-Mo and Lindy and Schroeder and Wiggs. And so for Kuminga, that cleared the way. It cleared the way for everyone, but even for Kuminga. So I'm sure he's champing at the bit to get back for the contract, to be a part of this great run and all the rest of it. But the one thing I hope that Draymond and Steph are telling Jonathan is, the best thing you can do is ball out in the playoffs. Whatever you do for the final 18 games of the year, because I'm looking at it and they've played 58, they've got 24. He'll probably miss the next four. Maybe miss the next four.
They're saying mid road trip is the target right now.
Okay.
So you got a game tomorrow. You got a game. You're looking at probably another week.
Okay.
Another week.
So if he misses four more, just ballparking it, that means he's got 20 to go to not only play well, but have them get into a spot where they get playoff games. And really, you're going to draw the most attention and you're going to make the most headway on your contract in April and May, in the playoffs. And I think that is the big message that they're going to send to him when he comes back.
Absolutely. I mean, all of it to me is the same thing. You can almost do it in one word, what they're trying to do with Jonathan. Relax.
R-E-L-A-X.
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
Relax.
I always wondered who the...
who is
in the background.
Probably Devonte Adams.
Yeah. My guess.
Maybe it's Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Somebody with a...
No, that was still when he was with the Packers, right?
The wheezing laugh. Could be your guy, Kevin from The Office, Brian Baumgartner.
Maybe. I don't think he laughs like that.
No.
Maybe
for Aaron he does.
Yeah. That's the word. That's the word. That's all anybody's trying to get him to do. And, I have no idea if he's been stewing or worrying about it or whatever. I know that when he has spoken, he has struck a wonderful chord. He has absolutely said, like, I really like what Jimmy Butler brings to the table and I can learn from that. And, Steve's talking about the two of them getting together in the film room. And so all of that is great. But if they're saying out loud, we want him to relax, it's on us to help him relax. It would suggest to me that there is an awareness of some dynamic within Jonathan that probably feels a little antsy right now. Naturally, right? I would feel like jumping out of my shoes if for 2 months you couldn't play basketball, you're watching your team turn a corner, start to get better, and then tick-tock, tick-tock, TikTok, the trade deadline comes. Okay, we're staying. And then it's like the contract. And February is about to flip to March, and I'm still not playing. Like, yeah, man, I get it. I get it. This would feel very antsy.
And when they play New York, they play the Knicks. That will be exactly 2 months since he last played basketball. He got hurt on January 4th.
And that's Tuesday, right?
That game is March 4th, and that game is on a Tuesday.
Tuesday, next Tuesday.
Yeah, so they play Thursday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. So that's 5 games in 8 days. That's a little bit of a gauntlet on the road, and you're in, I guess you're in 4 different cities because New York and Brooklyn are, you know,
I'm told those are the same
a bridge away.
Yes, yeah.
So, you know, not really a lot of travel there, but those games are, and they're a day apart. That's got to be a fun one for the fellas to be have an off day in New York before you take on Brooklyn. You can go ahead and get hammered. I mean, if you're looking at a road trip.
I mean, you can.
So you've got.
Everybody's got a vice.
You got 5 games.
Don't tell that to Luca.
You got 5 games. You smoke up, Johnny. You got 5 games, and then you've got New York on a Tuesday. Tough game, tough opponent Garden. An off day, and then you've got Brooklyn, mostly hapless. Oh, you going to do some drinking now.
Oh, it's not Brooklyn and New York on the back-to-back? Who do they play Monday? Is it Philly?
Charlotte.
Oh, Charlotte. Really?
Charlotte. I'm looking at it right here.
Okay, so it's Orlando, then Philly this weekend?
Correct.
Then Charlotte?
Yeah.
Then New York, then Brooklyn?
Correct.
Good God, it's a bunch of crappy teams they're playing.
So
they ought to win these games.
You load manage on Monday against Charlotte, and then you give it all you got against the Knicks on Tuesday.
Do they load
Wednesday,
manage?
You just get absolutely hammered, and then you survive Brooklyn.
I don't want them to load manage Monday. I know what you're saying.
You try to do what happened last night. You just dominate, and you can rest everybody for the whole fourth quarter.
Sit out the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and that was virtual load management, although most doctors and pros would tell you if you have to go out there and stretch and warm up and shoot around, even if you just play 22 minutes, that still is exertion as opposed to chilling in your streets.
No doubt.
Steph hasn't had to play in each of the last 2 fourth quarters.
Right. I just don't mess around and lose the game. They're still an NBA team. They beat the Lakers.
Just use air quotes,
please. They beat the Lakers like 6 days ago.
Yeah, LaMelo will probably be back.
Yeah, LaMelo.
They're scary with LaMelo.
Well, you could get hot. Could be like Dibs in the playoffs. You get hot.
You never know. I'm looking at their injury report.
They got Bridges. They got Ball. They could fill it up on a given night.
They've got 8 guys currently on their injury report. Day to day, out for season, out for season, out, day to day.
You want to use air quotes? Use it when you say injury report.
Right.
It's called the tank report that you're giving us right now.
Ball did not play. He had an ankle. He didn't play.
He's got 2 ankles.
Well, one of them apparently was hurt last night.
They called it a right ankle injury management last night.
Management.
Yeah. Daquan Jeffries, he's got a knee. I'm told he has 2, but one of them's hurt.
Who are you?
Yeah. Anyway, you load manage.
No.
You go up against the Knicks. You get hammered.
You got to win the game.
And then you beat Brooklyn.
You got to win the game.
You got to win the game, but they stink.
Yeah, but you got to go. It's five game trip?
5-game trip.
You got to get at least 4 of them.
Right?
You have to.
It's crazy how we're talking now, but you're right.
You have to. Orlando is a losable game that you should win. And then you do Philly and Charlotte, which right now, put them in the bank. As long as you show up, play your players, be a basketball team, you win those games. Philly is a mess mentally. Charlotte's not even a basketball team. Orlando is winnable, but losable. Like, they're good enough to put together a game.
Sure.
New York, that's obviously losable. And then you get to Brooklyn, which is a weird team, but you should win. So, like, I look at it as, like, 3 of those are absolute musts, and I need you to go 1-1 in the other 2, at least. Got to get 4 on this trip.
Agreed.
Right.
I mean, it feels like it. And Charlotte's lost 15 of 18, so we can talk about, ooh, Ball's coming back. It is tank mode, and even when they're not tanking, they're just terrible. But Brooklyn is a team that they can get sneaky competitive on you. So.
They can. And Grandy's guy, Cam Johnson, plays for them. So watch out for him.
Right.
Fill it up.
Non-future warrior.
He could hit the 3-ball.
Yeah.
Any given night, he could go off for 23. It could happen.
Hey, have you guys seen the standings yet today?
I mean, why? Did something happen to them?
I mean, last night they became
I know the Warriors are the 8.
They're a half game out of the 6.
I know. They're going to get it.
A half game.
They're going to get it. They have a super easy schedule. They're going to get it. Then they just got to hold on to it once they get it.
5 games out of the 4.
Yeah.
I mean, let's start getting greedy. And as I told Steve, you're only 15.5 back of OKC, and you have the tiebreaker. Let's do this.
So, I mean, Minnesota has an easy schedule, too, and is also a good team. So I don't know, like, they actually almost, I think, might be harder to catch than the Clippers.
Oh, the Clippers.
But, yeah, half game out of the 6. They're going to get it. Just can't hold on to it when you get it. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Okay, a little bit of a dealer's choice here. 888-957-9570. We'd love to hear from you. I know Caleb wants to talk about KD and Draymond's podcast. We'll take that coming up next. We'll circle back at some point in the 5 o'clock hour to the John Lynch sound that was very, very important earlier today. If you haven't heard it, you're going to want to hear it. But also, let's have some fun for a minute with this, because we were talking about this before the show. Now, all of a sudden, we've decided the Warriors are championship contender. Hey, let's pretend for a second that they do it. They did it. Is that the most unlikely Bay Area championship ever? And if not, what is? We'll take some calls on that, too. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Mark, do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
I don't have to be. It's just fun. So why not?
You're allowed to.
I mean, I ain't out here rooting for the Seattle Seahawks or nothing.
No.
Isn't that what I'm doing?
Nah.
I am rooting for the Knicks tonight.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm on the Knicks.
Minus, like, 11?
No, I think it was 10 that I got it out. I should have waited. Carl Anthony Towns got ruled out. And I could have gotten another point or point and a half.
Fanboy!
Yeah, but those Philly Sixers, they are... The Sixers and the Suns right now are targets. Now,
They're marks.
I will be, like, totally forthcoming. I was wrong. I targeted the Suns last night. And they lost, but Memphis did not cover. I had to go to overtime in order for Memphis to win that basketball game. But I look at the Sixers and Suns right now as two teams that are mentally exhausted and done. And so they are marks, especially when they're on the road.
Right.
And the Sixers are in New York tonight, and they are already down double digits.
Sixers with a better road record than a home record. Which is
that's interesting.
10-17 road, 10-20 home.
Okay,
virtually the same. But you look at teams like that, where you know teams that should be better than they are. Because we can talk about Washington and their 10 wins, and we can discuss Charlotte and 14-43. Those are just bad teams. And I've always said, you're not tanking when you're terrible. You're just bad. But if you're Phoenix...
Sometimes both, but
I don't
yes.
think Phoenix and Philadelphia are intentionally tanking.
I agree with you.
But Embiid is hurt, and Phoenix is broken 17 ways to Sunday. So these are teams that just can't... You can't succeed when your players aren't really that sold out to get out there and compete.
Paul George said he's taking a break from his podcast.
Okay.
So he can focus on trying to help the Sixers win a title.
All right. What title would that be? They're sitting 2.5 out of the 10 seed right now.
Yeah, yeah.
They're 20-37. And this is where, just a quick 15 seconds on the play-in tournament.
Go, we got a lot of time.
When you have a winning percentage of 351, you shouldn't be sniffing a possible play-in tournament berth.
Why
and
not?
They are.
But why not?
Because it's stupid.
Why?
Because... The
it's
Bulls
fun.
Have a winning percentage of .397.
I know.
You don't deserve to get a chance at a playoff berth.
I think it's always interesting to me. 15 seconds is going to turn into a minute.
Okay.
It's always interesting to me when people use that word deserve. Like, if there are 15 teams and you have one of the 10 best records, then that's what we do.
I get it. I understand the construct of it, but in terms of watchability, Miami's going to take on Chicago in the play-in game, and Miami without Jimmy Butler is struggling to even stay in the top 10.
I know.
Chicago is a pathetic squad that's never been good,
I
and now
it.
You're going to sell this as, and it is,
no,
an elimination game.
Yeah, like it's still fun. It's kind of like grading on a curve. The NBA grades on a curve. And if you're one of the top 10, then you get to go. Like, if you come in 10th place in your class, then you're going to get a B or whatever. So, like, you can get half the answers wrong, but you can still get a B.
Yeah, if everyone else in your conference got more than half the answers wrong.
Exactly, which is what happens in the Eastern Conference a lot.
Right, which is always, I mean, for the most part, why I was against having things graded on a curve. If you get 65% of the answers right, you get a D. I don't care if you were the fifth highest score in the class. That doesn't mean you get a B+, because the rest of your classmates are also stupid and didn't do their work.
No, I like it, because it's a teacher that basically is putting themselves into the accountability of the process, which is, like, if all of the people don't know what the hell's going on, maybe you should look at you.
Perhaps.
I mean, got to be open to it, right?
I get it. Anyway. One more 20-second quick aside.
yes?
Birthday boy who skipped the midterm.
Oh, yeah.
Has he bounced back?
He has not missed anything since.
Okay.
Very, the whole class is very engaged. We do have a few people who've got some work to do now.
Okay?
Blending back into class like Jonathan Kuminga. Challenging.
Yep.
But they're young bucks and they're trying. Their big final is it starts next weekend.
Okay.
Not this weekend, but next weekend, and it starts right here.
Yeah.
Right here.
At
Chase Center.
Okay.
Okay, March 8th, Detroit Pistons, which, by the way, don't sleep on them. They've won like all their games lately. And they're coming on March 8th, and so is my class.
Okay.
We'll see who wins. Kate Cunningham or Harry the Jr. We'll find out. It's going to be a showdown.
I don't care.
Yeah, all right. Let's go to Caleb in Livermore. Hi, Caleb. What do you want to talk about?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's up?
What up, what up? Yeah, so the podcast, it was a good listen. I want your guys' opinion on basically if they were to get Kevin Durant, like how would that starting five look? How would that team look? Because to obviously get KD, you're going to have to, I'm assuming, gut some of your roster, and I'm assuming Kuminga's probably going to be traded in a deal somewhere as well, but look, I like the way the Warriors are playing, though. They're playing really well. I 100% agree. Since Jimmy Butler has gotten there, there's been a new belief. There's been more excitement. The mentality is up. And just one little stab thing before I check out here. The Warriors, the last time they won three straight games by 20-plus points was in that 2022 season, which they won the championship. So
yep.
We'll see what happens.
No doubt. And Caleb, thanks very much for the call.
That was also the last time they won seven in a row.
Yeah.
As because I think Curt Hayward Hills yesterday was talking about that, and they've got four. They've stacked four right now, and seven's not out of the question.
I think there's a really fair point to make about this real quick, which is this. When people say, oh, I know you've won games, but look who you played. You know what everyone leaves out of that conversation? How did you play them? Dallas Cowboys, if you sneak by crappy teams, then we can have a conversation about you just getting lucky with the schedule. But if your whole team is watching the fourth quarter and Kevin Knox is hanging from the rim while you're up by 40, then I think there's something to be said for that. So these last seven games, you can talk to me all you want about who they played. But there's no doubt in my mind that especially in the back half of this seven-game stretch, the Warriors have looked like one of the better teams in the NBA.
They've looked great.
Yeah.
Since the Jimmy Butler acquisition. And yes, they haven't played a lot of the top teams as of yet, but you're right. It's how you go about doing it, and these are not nail biters. And Grandy with a great comment earlier on our thread about what a relief it was to have a game that looked like a blowout, felt like a blowout, and then actually was a blowout. Where, you know, your towel snapping and you're high-fiving and Quentin Post is hitting threes and everyone's making fun of him, giving each other high threes because that's what he does and you're up 34. It's like, yeah, I'm into this. I can go ahead and enjoy this as opposed to they go up 19 and then Charlotte goes on an 18-3 run. Now we get a four-point game. It's like, oh, God, are we doing this again?
Yeah.
Another clutch game.
Yeah, here we are.
That didn't have to be.
No, exactly. And it'll be interesting to see if they can do some of that on the road. The Warriors have been a pretty solid road team, quite frankly, ever since the Draymond and Jordan Poole year where they couldn't do anything on the road. They've looked a lot better. And so, this road trip will be very, very telling if they can stay healthy. take care of business and blow some of these teams out, even on their home floor, I think that you'll know that you do. You got something. You got something that they're playing with. So let's go to Ridiculousville for just a second, because a text just came through. 415, I see you, said 81 49ers. Okay. That would be, I would guess, one of the candidates. And it was actually the 82 Super Bowl, but the 81 Niners that beat the Bengals 26-21, first 49er title. And again, the answer that is being given there is to a question we threw out about 10 minutes ago. Let's go to Ridiculousville. Let's say these Warriors won it all. Where does that sit in Bay Area sports history in terms of unlikeliest championship?
It's up there.
I would look, without knowing the context of how you got there and what happened in front of you, I would have to argue right now that it would be number one. I think it would eclipse 22 Warriors, 15 Warriors, 2010 Giants, and 81 49ers. This team was sitting there at 500. They were injured. They were lethargic. They were dead in the water. There was nothing there. There was nothing there. So if this that we're watching over the last 2 weeks sustains and grows and becomes a powerful thing and goes somewhere, they'd have my vote.
It would definitely be on the Rushmore, and it would be in the top five, but it just depends on how you look at it and how you want to measure it. And I'm thinking about the 81 Niners that won the 82 Super Bowl. The previous year, they were 6-10, and they started out the next year 1-2. You lost at Atlanta, divisional game for you kids in the old NFC West.
Yeah.
Then you rattled off 7 in a row, including the first ever Niner game I went to against Dallas when you beat them 45-14. The regular year went 13-3, and then you went on and won the Super Bowl. So was it a surprise? Because you were 13-3, you were a really good team, but think about what they had. They had a secondary, I believe, of all four rookies, guys that they all drafted,
yep.
Hicks and Williamson and a guy named Lott.
Eric Wright.
Right. Yep. You were a team that was bad the year before, and all of a sudden you had a great regular season, and it culminated. So, yeah, that is a terrific surprise. So I do think that one goes on there. You know more about the 2010 Giants than most people. That one, for me, I would put at or near the top just based on the way that – I mean, that was a team that they weren't great the year before, and then you brought up a rookie catcher.
Oh, dude, they were not looking good on September 1st.
Right.
They were not, it wasn't going to happen. Here, real quick, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.